So guys, our next speaker, he's been here a bunch. He's been a long supporter of the Nerdalogs, and he's never told the story. Why is that? Maybe we'll find out when Ryan Bond, events manager.
Ryan Bond, everybody!
All right, thank you for that segue.
I
like a t-shirt.
Woo, it's got a beaker in it.
Erlenmeyer.
I was a science geek.
These get breaks. All right. So, Eric, thanks for the segue. Actually, I looked it up last night. This is like the preamble for the actual speaking part. But I've been coming to Nerdalogs since March 18th, 2013, which was the Mad World one, where I think where I first met a handful of people, Sawyer and Yusuf and Jeremy and a whole bunch of other people that have gone on to be longstanding friends of mine at this point. And the Nerdalogs in this establishment represents so much to me and the life that I changed from that point, because only a few short weeks later, which was April 1st, was when David had his private investor meeting in the other room for Cantina Forward. And I heard that idea and fell in love with that. So I'm up here because of that, but I've just loved watching the stories that everyone tells and prefer to see a little bit more of what other people do better. But now it's my chance to go ahead and tell that story. So, throw down. All right, so when most people hear the term bottoms up, they think about drinking. And I was not a drinker. You know, I was pretty much a teetotaler through most of high school, telling most of my friends, pouring liquor in the sink at parties and being the one to totally harass them for wanting to do what they wanted to do. A lot of it was trying to be cool and be in and be accepted. And I was like, this is not how you do that. You don't go doing this. You do what I did, which was a completely other wrong way to come at trying to be liked and being accepted. I drank by the time I was 21, but that's not where this story started. I didn't do my illegal behavior alcoholically. I did it kleptomaniacally. This started in seventh grade. Seventh grade is really where I hit my stride, and I also fell on my face. I got with a friend. Him and I met, as all good friendships do, by sitting next to each other because your last names both begin somewhere near about the same proximity of the same alphabet letter. So we were both B's and sat near each other. So as all kids do, we have a lot of free time. We don't know how to use our time very well. And I was not in a lot of organized sports, at least in junior high. And what I ended up doing was him and I would just dare each other to do stupid, crazy things. And it would raise the ante and get even worse, and we would do even more stuff. Until one day we were like, all right, well, how do we ratchet this up a little bit more? And we happened to be at Walden Books, which was a thing at one point. Before Barnes & Noble's and Crown, and like Walden Books was the place that you went, at least around the Chicagoland area. And I babysat a little bit, and I had a little bit of money, but neither him and I had a lot. And we were science fiction, fantasy, and role-playing geeks. And we would go back to the back section after school, and we would stare at these books and pull out the covers and come up with stories and dream about what was there and go, if only I had more money to buy more of this awesome stuff, it would be great. I dare you to steal a book. And as all kids do, they sit there and they think, smart kids, we were good kids, we were smart kids, we were geeks, and I knew all the right answer. I knew the right thing to say was, yes. So I just shoved that thing in my jacket and walked right out the front door. Not a skip, not a beat was missed. Well, that's how it all started. So all of a sudden it became this level of daring. Each of us upping the ante of finding some other way, finding some other riskier way to kind of push the level, push something a little bit more. You know, we were like the kids in Stand By Me that always needed to find some big challenge. You know, the kids in Explorers that always looking for something just a little bit more. And that was our thing. And all of a sudden, our D&D group got really into it. You know, we played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons, but now we were real-life thieves. I was a 20-level rogue in real life. I was doing things that you're not supposed to do and succeeding at them. So the law somehow got around us. We somehow found the system, the loophole through all of this. And our D&D group gave us more challenge, gave us more excitement. And I was working my way to try and become the DM of the group. As if anyone's played role-playing for a while, there's the players and there's the DMs, and sometimes you gotta earn your cred as either a player, or usually the one with the most money is the one who becomes the dungeon master more often, or most free time. So, instead of being the guy who had the most money, I went after, let's start stealing stuff for the group. So books, toys, D&D modules, monster manuals, those are the things that we went after, but it all profited the group. And that was all what we went after, and we had a great time doing this. Well, it was horrible, though. And I, as I sat down with my wife and my five-year-old today, saying, hey, what are you guys doing tonight? And I say, Daddy's going to go tell a story about how he stole things, and that's not right. And I know that that's not right, and it's not a great message. And he kind of got it, but seventh grade me thought it was amazing how much power I actually had through that point. So we eventually reached the point where we had kind of run out of those dares. We started bumping up against things that were now starting to get actually illegal, with air quotes. Like, not that what we were doing wasn't illegal before, but now it was like, now let's go do things like a higher end. And we happened to be in a local pharmacy at the back, and it was a Sunday quiet night, and we're just sitting there and kind of realizing, like, we've kind of run our course on this thing. Like, if we go any further, you're now starting to talk about stealing money or cars or really things that really can cause serious damage to our lives after this point. They could blow off a seventh grader, but when you start going in that way, it wasn't a good idea. And he seemed to get that point, and I seemed to get that point, and then he goes, steal that model car. And I had no idea. Like, I don't need a Ferrari Testarossa snap-together glue model. I wasn't into cars. He wasn't into cars, and I realized at that moment it was, like, this was now the thrill, and it had started to catch that itch now of, like, this could, like, okay. But I was like, I got to back off. I got to step away from this. And he's like, I'm like, no, that's too easy. You know that. He's like, I know it's too easy, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to take that model, which was about a, you know, a good yay-sized, you know, I don't know, loaf of bread sized thing, and you're going to shove it in your winter hat. You're going to put that hat on your head, and you're going to walk out the front door with it as if you don't have something on your head. So now we had gotten to this level of lunacy, this level of insanity, and something about that seemed, I could go out on a swan song. I could go out with this, and I would be a god among my friends. I hadn't stolen books. I would have been stealing something now that was absurd in an absurd way. So I decided, sure, why not? So I grabbed the model, shoved it in that hat, and put that thing on my head. And I sat there for about 12 seconds staring at him and him looking at me, waiting for him to say, you look like a complete ass with a box hat on your head. But he said nothing. And I turned around and I started to walk towards that front. Cautiously, carefully, purposefully, went towards the front door. Excuse me! I hadn't caught. But I wasn't quite sure. The door was just there. I could have just jumped out the door and made it. They wouldn't have known me. Shit. He's still back there. So I couldn't run, because if I ran, they would have known he was with me, and then all of a sudden, all hell would have broken loose. So I thought maybe if I just turned around, maybe I could play this thing off. Maybe I could without running. Yes, but no, that was what was going through in my head. What ended up happening is I turned around and went, I'm sorry, I'm stealing this bottle, I put it in a hat, it was a dare, please don't call my parents, I'll never steal again. Come here. And this old lady, who had been at this pharmacy for years, wearing those ugly flower dresses and librarian-style glasses, who terrifies seventh graders, says, come with me into the back. And now my friend is, I can't see him anywhere. And I get brought into the back. And the pharmacist is there doing the close of the week, finalizing the scripts, kind of figuring out what's done for the week. And she goes, here, this kid tried to steal a model. You deal with it. And he looked at me. And I looked at him. He says, what's your name, kid? I said, my name's Ryan Bond. And he says, is your dad a pharmacist? Is his name Steven? Oh, shit. Apparently, this guy knew my father. And I didn't know. My father was a pharmacist and knew this guy. Do you know what you've just done is illegal? Yes, I do. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to call the cops. I breathe a huge sigh of relief. This is going to go great. He knows my dad. Maybe this. Well, what we're going to do is you're going to call your father right now from this phone. So I pick up the phone and I dial the phone number and I call my father. Hi, Dad. I'm at the pharmacy. I just got caught shoplifting.
Come on home.
Put the pharmacist on the phone. I hand the phone over, and at this point, it is like deer in headlights, heart in my ears. They talked for a few minutes. Like, it was not like, it was minutes, but I have no idea. He hangs up the phone and says, go home right now. This will all be taken care of. So I go home, and I come in the door, and I know I've done wrong. I've been caught. I've now somehow managed to skate through. The cops are not involved. Somehow this horrible connection that my father and this pharmacist has might save the day. And instead of when my father asks me, why did you steal that model? I didn't actually say what was the answer. I said, I didn't steal it. I didn't know it was there. I don't even know it was on my head. It was an accident. So we spent the next hour going around in circles. I stuck to that story. I stuck to it hard. And then eventually at one point, he just snapped in the right way and stood up and walked out of the room. And then he came back with his wooden fraternity paddle. Oh. And he looked at me and he says, I'm going to ask you this one more time. Why did you steal that model? And I'm going to slide down to this because I just want to make sure I get it exactly right. Bum, bum, bum. I repeated my explanation that it was an accident and I didn't know it was there. And within seconds, I found myself tossed over his knee, naked butt exposed, and bottoms up to the world. The fraternity paddle landed a few choice blows that brought me to tears, but I never retracted my explanation. It wasn't my finest moment, and has remained one that has resonated with me for most of my life. In the end, though, the paddling taught me that I have great strength and conviction, and a strong, stubborn streak. I have great strength and conviction, and a strong, stubborn streak that should be used for the power of good instead of evil. So I'm helping open Geek Bar.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It was, I'm so glad that you got up here and spoke. I'm also glad to hear that your stories have been like a cool thing for you. It's a real pleasure to have.